Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Georgie Jorgensen. And today's guest is Max Wyman from the Lurie Besikoff Lapidus & Company firm in the Twin Cities. Thanks for being with us today, Max.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
When I think of Lurie Besikoff Lapidus & Company, I think of an accounting firm. A full-service accounting firm provide all kinds of services even some people don't even know they need. But you're from a different department over there. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm an actuary, not a CPA, and I head the defined benefits section of our benefits department. We have approximately 18 people in our department. They do put us in the back room, kind of, but we still survive.
They hide actuaries in the back room?
Well, they had us in the very back at first. Now they shoved us upstairs and kind of keep us away from the mainstream. So
keep you out of sight.
But we have 18 people. We handle about 1,000 plans. That's pretty well split between defined contribution and defined benefit plans, all retirement plans.
So you're a third-party administrator.
Third-party administrator. We do everything on a plan or just limited services. It depends on what the employer is looking for and needs. So we provide any service that we can and charge a fee for.
So what actually does an actuary do, Max?
Yeah.
Well, we work strictly with defined benefit plans for the most part. In a defined benefit plan versus the 401k plans that you're probably most familiar with, the employer is making a promise to his employees that he's going to pay a benefit at some future time, typically the normal retirement age defined in the plan. The actuary then determines, you know, the probability that that's going to get paid. Will the employee work there until retirement? Will he have compensation increases that might increase the amount of the benefit being paid? Will he die before that? I mean, we take into consideration all the possible things that could happen between now and retirement, develop a contribution range that the employer must commit to in order to complete that commitment to his employees.
So you have, so you would, if all of my employees were over 50, for example, you would do a calculation and determine the how likely it is that the payout would occur at 57 or 60.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
The probability of retirement. Typically, in small plans, we assume that they all work until the normal retirement age in the plan.
Okay.
But in larger plans, it can become important to have that assumption that some people retire at 60, some will retire at 61, 62, so that you're adequately prepared and have enough assets to cover the benefits when they become due.
So as an actuary, you actually get into the complicated process of determining how much can be put in the plan and to whose benefit and all those calculations?
The code sections now tie our hands in a large respect after the Pension Protection Act of 2006. But yes, we do the calculations to meet those requirements and provide the employer with a range. We're now doing a lot more consulting, though. Under the Pension Protection Act, they provide the calculation methodology and some of the assumptions that you have to use. And so we develop a range that says the minimum amount you can put in is X, so that you meet all the government requirements and don't get into trouble there. And then it will provide a maximum amount that you can actually put in and take as a deduction for your tax return. Now, if you followed either one of those two amounts, you'd either end up underfunded or overfunded when everybody hit retirement age.
Right.
So a lot of our consulting gets into how much should they actually put in within that range in order to adequately meet the requirements coming up.
So you're looking at the legal requirements, and you're also looking at what are you trying to provide for your employees?
Yes.
Okay, which is worse? I imagine the legal requirements occupy a lot of your time as a third-party administrator.
The last couple of years, the legal requirements have been the bulk of our time, yes.
So it gets pretty complicated.
Yes, they've come out with new rules, like I say, with the Pension Protection Act, and unfortunately they haven't issued the guidance to tell us how to apply those rules. And like anything else that Congress writes, it really doesn't make sense in a lot of cases. So,
so that is interpretation.
If Max doesn't have the rules, we're in trouble, Sam.
Well, we've got them down pretty good, but it's right now we're actually under good faith compliance, which means that we're taking our best stab at what the Congress intended with the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing the complicated rules, and you're doing the best you can with it.
And without guidance from the IRS as to how they interpret it, we're left to interpret it ourselves. So
there what type of different plan designs do you have? What choices does an employer have?
Well, typically with a young employer, you know, a new employer, and if income is somewhat questionable and iffy, but he feels it's important to have a plan so that he can attract good employees, a lot of times they'll go to a simple IRA plan. Simple IRA plan allows them to defer as an individual, similar to a 401k plan, allows them to defer $11,500 this year, and then they have to either put in a 2% across-the-board contribution for each participant, or they can do a matching contribution up to 3%. So
the employee has the option to defer some of his compensation in the form of a contribution to the simple plan?
Yes. The employer sets it up. It's very easy to set up. There's actually an IRS form that they can just sign off on, basically, called Simple IRA. Each employee sets up his own IRA. And then the employer just makes that 2 or 3% contribution to the IRAs, and the employee can have payroll deductions taken out and put into the IRAs as well, up to $11,500. So the positive thing is that it's very simple. You know, that's why they call it simple. It's also very inexpensive to set up and establish. So a new employer that has very questionable profits can set it up at a very low cost and maintain it at a low cost. The negative part of it is that if you have employees that have made $5,000 in two of the preceding years, any preceding years, and is expected to make at least $5,000 this year, they have to be in the plan. So you may end up covering some part-time employees. The other negative to it is that if you grow out of that plan, for instance, the employer, the maximum he could put in is $17,850, I believe it is, this year. If he wants to do more than that, he'll need to set up a different type of plan. And when you have a simple plan in place, you cannot change until the next year. So you can't wait until the end of the year and make a decision to change it. You need to be looking forward and projecting out.
So, November 29th, I can't go, oops.
Right, exactly. You're committed to the simple, and the most you're going to be able to put in for yourself is that, you know, just under $18,000.
Now, you mentioned part-time employees. So anyone who makes over $5,000, is that salaried part-time? Is it temporary part-time? I mean, is it just anyone who is on your payroll?
Just anybody that's on your payroll that made over $5,000.
Oh.
So you have to have 100% participation, or they all have to be eligible to participate?
In a simple, it would be 100% participation for those people.
So if you've got a dozen people and one of them doesn't want to make any contributions?
Oh, as far as their deferrals, they can elect to do zero. But the 2% or the 100% match up to 3%, you have to do for everybody in the plan. So if you had 12 employees and 10 of them deferred and two of them did not, and you were using the match, then you would not be providing any contributions to those two people.
To the two that elected not to participate.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Now, let's assume that we're growing and we've got some more profits, and in 2010, we want to have a different type of plan. What else is available?
Well, not that I know too many companies in 2010 making a profit yet, but let's assume that they are. If they're looking to go beyond the simple limits, The next step would be to look at a 401k plan. It's actually a profit-sharing plan with a 401k provision. A lot of people get that mixed up. They think that it's a quote-unquote 401k plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, profit-sharing plans have a provision that allow employees to defer up to $16,500 this year. Okay, so that becomes a provision in the profit-sharing plan. The profit-sharing limit overall allows you to put up to $49,000 away for any one individual. Okay, so now we've increased from 17,850 to a possible 49,000.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you're over,
better be making 50, lots of profits, Max.
We haven't gotten to the good ones yet.
So. Uh-oh, here we go.
If they're over 50, they can actually do a catch-up, which can put them up to 54,500. You know, there's a 5,500 catch-up allowed in 2009. So with a 401k plan, what they would do is set up a profit-sharing allocation of 32,500 and defer 16,500 to get them up to a $49,000 total. And then, like I say, if they're over age 50, they could defer an extra 5,500.
Oh, okay.
On top of that. So the potential is to do over $54,000 for any one individual.
Now, from a business owner standpoint, when he makes those contributions to the 401k profit sharing plan, that's deductible to the business before taxes.
That's correct.
And for the employees, then it's like a 401k is not taxable income that year. It's deferred tax.
That's
right?
Correct also. The big decision will be how much to make will depend on how the plan is designed. There's a couple different ways to design profit sharing plans. One is to use what they call a safe harbor approach. In other words, everybody gets pretty much the same allocation. If you give 10% to the owners, it's going to take 10% to the employees. And so that can become very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We typically use what's considered a cross-tested design, where we go in and show that we are providing similar benefits when these people retire at, say, 65, by showing that the dollar I put in for employee A, who's 25 years old, will buy a lot more benefit than I give, than the dollar I give to the owner, who's 55, and it's only going to accumulate for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can show that there's a substantial number of employees benefiting at a level equal to or greater than the employer, I can cut down the employee contribution requirements through a cross-tested design.
Well, interesting.
So this is a test to make sure that your plan is set up properly so it doesn't favor the employers at the expense of the employees.
That's correct.
Like that.
The rules for that are defined in 4184, part of the code section. And so you test it each year. It has to be tested every year to make sure that you're not discriminating. So the amount that you give the employees could change. The minimum you're required to give them could change. This year it might be 5%. Next year, because you've lost some young people, it could be 7%. And so it can
when does involved. When does the employer have to decide what the contribution is?
In a profit sharing plan, it's at the end of the year.
So we can go through the year, make our money, and comes down to December 15th, we take a look at where we're at and what kind of taxable income we've got, and then we can decide how much we're going to put in.
Exactly.
So, and how about that 3% or 5% the employer's match? Can he decide that at that time too, he or she?
Well, yes and no.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
The actuary showed up, Sam.
Some designs use what's called a safe harbor 401k, in which case you've committed to maybe a 3% contribution. And by doing that, the owner is allowed to defer 16,500 regardless of what the employees do. Okay. If you don't have a safe harbor deferral requirement in there, then you have to test it each year for the deferral limits. In other words, if the employees are only doing 4%, the owner might only be able to do 6%, even though it's less than the 16,500.
So the safe harbor, if when you put the plan in place, you decide on 5%, and it's going to be that way every year,
yeah,
then does that allow you not to have as much testing, or what's the...
Yes, what you decide on at the beginning, or actually prior to the year beginning, you have to do it 30 days in advance, give them a notice that you're going to use, say, the 3% safe harbor. There's two safe harbors. One says that I'm going to just give everybody 3%, and it's fully vested. So immediate 3% that belongs to them. Or I'm going to match 100% of their first 3% in deferrals and 50% of the next 2%. So you can do one of those two safe harbors that eliminates the ADP-ACP testing and allows the owners to defer the maximum without question.
Sam, did you get all that? He talks numbers like this all day, every day.
Yeah, so slow me down.
I got it until the last two numbers.
the matching.
No, I got that. It was after that, the 16,500.
The employer is allowed to defer maximum 16,500. Mm-hmm. So to protect his ability to do that, you would use one of those two safe harbors, and that eliminates having to test it every year.
That was the testing. That was...
Yeah.
Okay, 401k profit sharing.
And that's for the owners that are starting to make a good profit, are looking to put away, like I say, $50,000, $55,000, if they're wanting to go beyond that and do it substantially.
The next step, Sam.
Yeah, now you've had me out of my element talking about defined contribution plans. Now we're going to get into my element. So
okay, let's get them back to where we
There's no going back. Defined benefit plans.
Yeah, the only way to go beyond the 55 or 54.5 for an individual is to go into a defined benefit plan.
Okay.
Our typical plan design is basically professionals with 20 to 30 employees, typically. And we usually provide them with a combination of the 401k and a defined benefit plan. And there's a number of reasons we do that. Number one, the defined benefit plan, since it defines the amount that we can pay at retirement, gives us a wide range of contributions that we're allowed to do. And as a person gets older, it takes a greater amount of contribution to provide the same dollar of benefit because we have the shorter accumulation period. So as an example, somebody age 55 that we're going to provide a maximum benefit to at 65, we can probably develop a contribution just to the defined benefit plan of about $150,000 to $170,000.
Okay.
And so if we can set up the
per plan, year.
Per year.
Okay. Which is deductible to the business.
Oh, I only talk in deductible dollars.
All right. These are big dollars now. I want to get this straight. So a defined benefit plan actually starts at the end, at the retirement age, and then you work backwards and determine how much you can contribute based on your age when you're making the contributions?
That's correct. For example, right now, the maximum benefit I can pay a person at age 65 is $195,000.
Okay.
Well, numbers are getting bigger and bigger, Sam.
Well, they've gotten bigger and bigger. That's an annual benefit payable at 65. So we're saying that at 65, we're going to retire this gentleman and pay him $195,000 a year for the rest of his life. Okay, as an actuary, I determine what the rest of his life means, which is just another example of how we guess at things in some respects. But so we determine how much money we have to have in a pot to pay $195,000 a year at 65 and say that's about $2.3 million. Well, if the guy's 55 and we're going to pay him out a benefit that's going to have a value of $2.3 million, we've got to start putting money away at a fairly big level. If he's 40 years old, we can't pay him any more than $195,000, so now we got 25 years. So you can see as somebody gets older, it takes more and more to max out that benefit, and we can develop higher and higher contribution amounts for the older owners.
Okay, so if we've got a business owner out there that's 55 years old, and he's got, say, 20 employees at an average age of 30, what you're suggesting, or I think what you're telling me, is you can put a large amount of money in the plan for the owner and substantially smaller amounts for those employees because of their age and the time factor of the money.
If we have the right demographics, it doesn't work for everybody, unfortunately. I mean, we could get it to work for everybody, but you'd have some pretty high employee costs and most often, that's the restriction.
Sam, I don't think we're going to get Max to say yes or no today.
No.
What it is if you've got, let's say you've got 20 employees, the first step that we would do in setting up the plan is, in designing it, is to look at what can we do in a 401k plan. Mm-hmm. That's our first step. And the reason for that is if we combine the two plans, we also want to have the maximum flexibility possible. This year has really brought to light the fact that goal in our design technique has been necessary because we've been able to flex our contributions this year to accommodate the economy and some of the losses people have taken on their assets.
So the 401k plan as a profit-sharing plan, if there's profits, you make contributions. But the defined benefit plan, is that more like a retirement plan? Once it's set up, you have to make the contribution?
Exactly. You're absolutely right. The defined benefit plan has required contributions. And when you combine it with the 401k plan, a portion of that contribution becomes a commitment as well and is no longer flexible. Okay. So what we would do is come in, set up a 401k plan, max out the owner, and let's say that to max out the owner takes about a 5% contribution to the employees, and the owner gets his full $49,000.
Okay.
Between deferrals and the profit sharing. Then we would go one step further. If he wants to go beyond the $49,000, and let's say he wants to do maybe another $100,000, we would set up what we use is a cash balance plan. We'd set up a cash balance plan that gives him a $100,000 allocation. We then determine how much is it going to cost to do that, because we'll have to give the employees a certain amount to meet some of the participation requirements in the defined benefit plan, typically about 2% of pay. And then we may have to increase the profit sharing slightly to meet the non-discrimination requirements, because we're going to combine the plans together and test them for non-discrimination as one.
Okay, and the test plans. For non-discrimination? Explain
Again,
that.
That's the cross-testing, where we have to have a number of young people that when I show them that I'm giving 6% to this employee plus 2% in the cash balance plan, that's going to give that employee a similar benefit to what the $100,000 plus $49,000 is for the owner.
Okay, so you're showing dollar to dollar.
A comparison of the value of that dollar at retirement.
At retirement, yeah.
As affected by age and as affected by... So all of that is to prevent the employer from overloading his contribution.
Exactly.
And not having the employees participate.
So what usually happens is if we have an owner in his 50s and we have a number of employees, it doesn't have to be all of them. It just has to be probably 20 to 30% will do it.
Oh.
That are substantially younger, 20 to 30 years. Then we can design a plan where, in a lot of cases, they aren't putting any more away than they were in the profit-sharing plan before we got involved.
Nice.
So. This sounds pretty complicated. So, Max, you help business owners, you sit down with them and say, what is it you're trying to accomplish, and help them formulate these or come up with a plan that reaches their goals? Is that it?
Yes. We sit down and they tell us what they're trying to accomplish. And it could be more than just, I want another $100,000.
Right.
Although, you know, that's quite often the case. But a lot of them will be looking at their personnel, too, and saying, well, you know, I've got this office manager I'd like to benefit more. Or, you know, the hygienists are doing me a good job, or I'd rather not. I already pay them on a contract, so I really don't want to increase theirs as much. But the other employees might be okay. You know, so we design around those arrangements that they provide us.
So the business owner comes in and says, I need to fund my retirement, and I've got some key people I want to take care of. What can I do for them without violating the rules and put together a decent plan?
Exactly. What we would do is go in and design the plan around him, and then go back and look and say, well, if I increase the benefits for employee A that you like, okay, that's important to you, a key employee. If I increase that, I could increase him or her to some, you know, 10 or 15%, and it's not going to affect the employee cost. And so what we do is put that in the profit-sharing plan, where each of those employees are in their own rate groups, and therefore we can determine how much we can give them or want to give them each year.
So as an actuary, you help them actually design the plans and put them together.
Yes.
So one of the things we didn't talk about too much yet is, as a third-party administrator, what all does that entail? What do you provide for business owners if they choose to hire your firm?
Well, what a TPA does is the complete administration. When you have a pension plan, there's a number of things that have to be done. Number one, there's annual filing reports, because the government has to be informed of what's going on every year. So there's what's called the Form 5500 that has to be filed. Number two, if you're going to set up a plan for and benefit your employees, you want to get some bang out of your buck. So you want to make sure the employees understand the plan and get reporting every year so that they can see the benefit of being involved in the plan. So we prepare participant statements, and the summary plan descriptions might be part of that. We make sure that they get a distribution of that material so that they can keep on top and see what's going on with their plan, and that way evaluate better.
Okay. So it sounds like you partner with the employer on behalf of the employees and all of the plans.
Yes.
Huh. So you help them design the plan, you do the reporting, do you manage the money as well?
No, we don't do any money management.
So,
to be independent, the most I'm going to tell people about money management is that don't listen to me. Okay. I buy high, sell low. It's traditional for actuaries, I think. But,
that comes along with the slide rule in school, doesn't it?
The most that we want to get involved on the investment advice is that with the defined benefit plans, the employer is responsible for the rate of return. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's committing to an amount that's going to be paid in the future. And so he's responsible for the investment return and takes that risk. In a defined contribution plan, the employee takes the risk. He gets whatever the account accumulates to at retirement age. And so if it does well, he does well. If it doesn't do well, he doesn't do well.
But you're seeing a lot of defined contributions this year. Defined contribution plans versus...
No, we're still finding a lot of employers that make pretty good money and are trying to put away money. So we're still setting up a number of cash balance plans. Probably a little heavier on the defined contribution side.
Okay.
One of the things that we've been really dealing with is with the asset losses, how do we recover from the asset losses inside the plan? As I was getting to with the 401k plan, there's nothing to do. It's just you either sit down with your investment advisor and figure out if the current investments are still good or if you should change, but that's between you and the investment advisor. With the defined benefit plan, the employer has to make up for it. Okay, and that could be an issue, especially if you've got partners. And if one of the partners decides to leave while the plan's still down, he leaves the other partner short. So that becomes a big issue. And so we've been spending a lot of time with partnerships in particular determining how best to get back to 100% funded.
So if they've made contributions to a defined benefit plan for a few years and then last September or October they took a big hit in their investments, then that's going to influence the amount of money that you put into the plan in 2009?
Exactly. Because as the plan goes along, there's, like I said, a fixed commitment of what you're going to pay at retirement age. And so we have to keep on track to have that amount of money at the appropriate ages. So if we lose money, that means that we fall off the grid and need to get back on.
So the danger there is, because it's a required contribution, if you did have losses last year, your required contribution this year might exceed your profitability, but you have to put it in.
Yeah, but we found ways to work with that and settle for most of our clients. Now, again, most of our clients are professionals, and their income is still fairly good, but it's making up the loss that's become a topic of conversation.
Well, I imagine that was giving you headaches, Max. That's got to be a tough one.
Well, if they were fairly conservative, and that's the only investment advice we give, by the way, is be conservative in the defined benefit plan. They were down 10-15%. Okay, at 12/31. A lot of other plans, 401k plans in particular, were down 40% and 50%.
Yeah.
So it was...
Max, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts about qualified retirement plans and advice for business owners?
Well, it's still a plan that they should consider setting up, because even if profits are down, it's still a scary thought to me what it's going to take to retire on when people hit 65 or so. I know I looked at my 401k plan and put my retirement age out another 10 years. So, and that's the way a lot of people are looking at it. So you look at the different studies now, and you've got to be prepared to have income greater than what you retired with, because the medical costs alone. So
it's a big issue to employers and employees today.
Yeah, to both. They should all be considering just participating as heavily as they can be.
Well, I'm Tom Lyons, and for my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer Georgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Max Wyman from Lurie Besikoff Lapidus & Company for being with us on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.